Welcome back, folks. Former DNI Tulsi Gabbard was not happy with Anthony Fauci's testimony in front of the Senate yesterday. She made this video. Let's watch.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions, the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives. Now, these documents expose Fauci's direct role in influencing and manipulating IC assessments on COVID-19 and how Fauci lied to Congress in 2024 when under oath he denied knowledge of or participation in discussions with intelligence officials about viral research. We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins, once again revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth. Dr. Fauci's close relationships with the intelligence community enabled him to assume three key roles that shield him from scrutiny. First, Dr. Fauci funded dangerous gain-of-function coronavirus research linked to Big Pharma and their pursuit of universal vaccines worth trillions of dollars. Second, Dr. Fauci was the behind-the-scenes advisor who, alongside his hand-picked so-called experts, pushed the intelligence community to endorse a natural animal origin to hide his dangerous gain-of-function research that he funded using taxpayer dollars, all of this in a deliberate attempt to cover up the truth and shift the blame and attention away from Fauci's own actions. Third, Dr. Fauci became the nation's pandemic pundit, and he publicly pushed lies, disinformation, and censorship using every platform available. Now, according to hundreds of reviewed emails, which are included in this release, the intelligence community almost always incorporated Fauci's recommendations. He promoted a fraudulent paper whose publication he helped prompt as legitimate information for intelligence community consideration. Senior analysts praised Dr. Fauci not as a policymaker, but as what they called an unbiased guide to the real coronavirus experts, while deliberately ignoring experts who might dissent from Fauci's narratives. Now, Fauci didn't stop there. He blatantly lied to Congress under oath during his 2024 testimony to the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, denying that he ever spoke to any intelligence agency about COVID. Now, the correspondence I'm releasing today directly contradicts his sworn testimony. Now, we received statements from multiple whistleblowers revealing that the intelligence analysts who dared to challenge Dr. Fauci's COVID origin conclusions faced threats of retaliation, marginalization, and many suffered career setbacks. For example, a contractor was terminated just days after coming forward to ODNI as a whistleblower. Another example, those who advocated for the lab leak hypothesis or expressed dissenting views were reminded by their managers that leadership would determine which analysts would be promoted and which would not. The message was clear: go along or be punished. Senior leaders also sought to undermine whistleblowers by removing anonymity, which is required in the whistleblower process, as they made their complaints, and also insisting that their manager...
All right, so that was Tulsi Gabbard. Just to clarify, this was reposted, but this was from her final day as Director of National Intelligence. And that's what she did, is she went out of office, was exposed Fauci one last time. Would have been nice to have him, arrested and tried, but...
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back, folks. Final hour of the War Room. We still have the Iran war to talk about. We've got some AI stories. I do want to stick with a few more videos about the migrant crisis, aka the biomass attack. But I thought this was interesting. I'm sure y'all have seen this. A new quadruped drone robot has been released. It's like a centaur. A California startup built a teleoperated rescue robot for wildfires and collapsed buildings, but for some reason they gave it a goat head and glowing eyes, and when they released it, they photographed it holding a chainsaw in one of them, or staring through a door, as if they could make it any more ominous. It's crazy. I don't know why they would make such a demonic-looking thing, but it has a very interesting, you know, aspect to it that I actually really, like, appreciate and I think should be made a law. I actually think this should, a form of this should be a law. Basically, what it says is, in any robot with human-like strength, size, and maneuverability, we are taking a physical approach to safety mechanisms with no ambiguity. Fail-on air brakes and pin locks will render the robot immobile if system air pressure is lost. Shared reservoirs in the chest, plate, and body can be pierced with a projectile or sharp instrument to instantly stop the robot in place. So in other words, they have these, you know, inflated air sacs inside the robot, and it requires that pressure to keep pins in place for the robot to operate. So basically, they have a built-in function where if anything happens, where it gets taken over by a hacker who wants to use it to attack people, or it gets out of control, basically, if you just have a pencil, if you have anything sharp or a gun, you poke the machine and it just shuts down physically. That's kind of a brilliant solution, because there's, you got to have something. If we're going to have humanoid robots, if we're going to have centaur-like robots, if we're going to have these, like, especially if they're not being controlled remotely but totally autonomous, you got to have a kill switch. And this is kind of a brilliant way to do it, I think. I don't know. I don't have a lot of other suggestions, but creepy as hell. Very creepy. Like, I have no explanation for why they would put a cow head on it. I don't know. It's crazy. Why the glowing eyes? Why does it look so creepy? I don't know. I'm not defending this thing. It's horrible. Put it back. I don't know what it is. But I do like that function. I do like that it has a physical kill switch, not a digital kill switch, not something you have to, like, get to the robot to press a button or enter a code or anything else you have to actually rely on the robot to do. You literally have it physically built to where it cannot function if it's pierced. That's great. That should be a law. It should be like, if you're going to deploy autonomous robots, thinking machines, things that make decisions on their own, that interact with the physical world and are making decisions through algorithm, you have to have a way to disable it. Knock, knock, superhuman bots are here. Satirus 3 Habs super humanoid bot goes viral. So that's the bot we're talking about here. Yeah, it's very weird. But again, like I said, that function alone, I think, is very unique and interesting. And I'm surprised I haven't seen more of that. So again, I mean, you know, they're not going to do it if they don't have to. Like, these people did, obviously, but I think it needs to be a law. I think it needs to be enforced by the government that you cannot release these things if they are not easily, like, and I think it should be like an average human should be able to beat it. Like, you should not be able to release a robot that interacts physically with the world if it cannot be easily defeated by a human being. Could we do something like that? It's kind of a new upgrade to the Asimov's law, because Asimov's law was supposed to be that the robot couldn't be programmed to hurt anybody. But what if it was just like, no, this robot has to be, it can be physically strong. It can do great things. It could be carrying a tonnage of weight, and it can be climbing up sheer walls and all that. But it should have some mechanism where a human being, ideally an unarmed human being, can disable it easily. Like the treadmills at the gym with that red wire that you attach to your clothes. Like, that's what every robot needs to have, like a wire coming out of its head that if you grab it and pull it, the whole thing shuts down. Because again, what I like about it was that it's handicapped people can't beat it exactly. Well, it has to be ADA compliant. There has to be a ramp up to the off switch. Oh God, it's horrifying. But the thing I like about it is that it's physical. It's not a function of the robot that could easily be like even overridden by AI, who could like go in and change its own internal code and stuff like that. But just physically, it cannot operate if the pressure is lost. So all you have to do is cut it, and it stops working. Physically stops working. That's brilliant. I thought that was brilliant and should be used in more. Should be forced to be used in more things. All right, when we're talking about immigration, we just saw a video of a bunch of Muslim guys literally kick women off a boat, leave them in the water and drive away. And that was funny. This one's not so funny, but informative and kind of typical. Three migrant women were found dead, quote, from heart attacks on board a boat in the English Channel. Three migrants have been found dead on a boat in the English Channel off the coast of Dunkirk. The French Coast Guard said the bodies were found this morning. The French authorities said they were alerted to the migrant boat from 6 a.m. local time, departing from the Dunkirk area, and sent a search and rescue vehicle to monitor the situation. Around 6:30 a.m., the rescue ship identified three unconscious individuals on board. The victims were brought ashore, and they were confirmed dead. All three women are believed to have suffered heart attacks on board. French official... Were they vaxxed? Were they given vaxes, perhaps, before getting on the boat? We don't know. A fourth migrant, a man, also died when his dinghy got into difficulty in a separate incident off the coast of Danes or something. But basically, this was a boat full of men. And I believe there were only three women on it, and all three women ended up dead. And the men are like, yeah, they all had heart attacks, so... Can we come in your country now? Yeah, we arrived in a rubber dinghy this morning. Sorry about the dead women bodies. They died. What happened to them? They died. How'd they die? Death, I guess. I mean, that happens. That happens. Yeah, you know, women have a natural, you know, cycle. They line up. So, you know, who's to say, you know, what are the odds? You put 20 people together, three of them die within a couple minutes of each other. That happens, you know? It happens. There's like covered in blood. There's like covered in blood, and like looking at pictures of them killing the women. They're just like, bah, they died. Heart attacks, probably. So look, it was either the vaccine, a death note, or the migrants murdered the women. Those are going to be my assumptions. The death note's from an anime. That doesn't even exist. And the vaccine, that's just a joke, I said. So, yeah, they were murdered by the migrants. I've eliminated all ulterior explanations, and I've determined that, in fact, a boat full of migrants arrived at shore with the three women on the boat dead and all the men alive. saying it was a heart attack, and then they all got brought into England because apparently they believe it because that's what the headline says. So, I mean, my God. They dump the bodies. They know what to do. There's the murder suspect right there. Yeah, that was him. He was seen eating an apple close by. Look, I'm not saying that I spend an inordinate amount of time fantasizing about having a Death Note. I do think I could save the world. I do think Light is an idiot. He should have given it to me. Let's go to clip 7 now, because this is what we're doing to ourselves. These are the people that we're bringing into our country, that England's bringing into their country, that all of Europe is being subsumed under the wave of these people. It's Nick Shirley in America talking to ostensibly, technically, legally, on paper, Americans, asking them who they'd fight for if America and the religion of Islam went to war. Let's watch.
Now you have all these Islam men yelling Allah Akbar. I have a question for you guys. If America were to get in a war with someone, with a country like Iraq, who would you guys defend, America or Iraq?
We won't get in a war. That's not permissible for us. But at the same time,
who would you defend first?
We would support our brothers in Iraq. That's the only way.
So you wouldn't defend America?
Okay. We would not defend America.
But you're American.
At the same time, America is our country because we were born here. But in our Islamic book, we're not allowed to fight with people that are against our religion. So we just take up the jail time.
So you would
That's
not,
what we do.
So you would not defend America?
I would go to jail instead of fighting for America.
And who would you defend if we were to go to war against a country like Iraq again, America or Iraq?
America.
And should that be a troublesome conflict of interest for somebody to be here in America that would rather support another nation, like Iraq?
Anybody who supports another nation needs to live in that nation. This is a Christian nation. A lot of the Constitution is based off of the Bible. And how far the country has fallen.
Like, this is kind of what I mean, you know. Like, that person should be deported. Or killed. Like, they're an enemy combatant. Right? Am I wrong? And, like, what could, you know, what would you say in opposition to that? Like, if I had the power, if I had the authority, and I could point and go, all right, that guy needs to be shipped to Iraq tomorrow. What would the argument be? Oh, you can't. You have to let him. Why do we have to let him stay? He's literally asked, if America went to war with Iraq, who would you support? And he's like, Iraq. They're our brothers. It's like, okay, so you're an enemy. So you're not American. You don't perceive yourself as American. You're born here. You're second, at least, maybe third generation, but you're not American. You're not on our team. You don't like us. So, like, that's, like, you know, I'm sure he would say, oh, this is unfair. No, but I'm American just like you. You know, if you were like, okay, well, then you're being deported to Iraq, he'd probably, you know, he'd rebel. He wouldn't like it. He'd argue against it. But you just said that you would support Iraq over America in a war. You are a national security threat. You are an enemy combatant behind enemy lines. Why do we put up with this? Like, that's crazy. But he was born here. He's a citizen. American as you and me, legally. Voting. Wise, absolutely. So just literally, you know, literally why. And like, the mindset that's like that, where they go, yeah, I live in your country, but I'm open about the fact that I would support another country militarily if we went to war. I would support that other country. What I don't understand is, like, if I were to move to Iraq and had somebody ask me, hey, would you support America in Iraq? And I'd be like, America, 100%. If they were like, you have to get out of the country now, I'd be like, what? What? No, you have to keep me here, even though I'm an enemy. Like, we should just kick them out. We should kick all of them out. Why are any of them here? Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. You know, it's this, guys, I figured out the solution. It's kick them the hell out of our country. If we go back in time, don't let them in the first place. But you did, so now you have to kick them out. You have to kick them out. We have to kick them out. Or we have to fight them. Or one day we're going to have to fight them because they're not American. Do we understand this? Don't get me wrong. You know, I understand that it's, you know, we have big concerns with the Zionists too. We're not falling for the false dichotomy. We're recognizing two sides of the same coin. And we're against the coin. We're against the whole damn coin. Let's go now to a little compilation video about Islam in Texas. It's a little bit upsetting, to be honest with you, but we'll do it if I can find it. In fact, let's go to clip 10 first. I haven't actually watched this one. This is Eric Schmidt, Senator Eric Schmidt, saying he blocked 3,500 Haitians from receiving temporary protected status earlier. Let's watch.
Last week, I objected to the Democrats' attempt to give 350,000 Haitians an extended TPS. Today, I'm objecting to this Democrat attempt to give millions of illegal aliens mass amnesty, green cards, and work authorizations. I will always object to this mass amnesty. I will always object to this mass migration. I will always object to putting American workers last. I will always object to tying the hands of our law enforcement. So therefore, Mr. President, I object.
Good for him. Problem solved, I'm sure. Let's go to clip number 16 now. A little compilation, Texas versus Islam.
Country of my Texas.
There's something about Texas and how God has blessed it, and God has blessed the people of Texas.
When I see God connecting all of us the way that he is, I go, man, he's raising an army.
Man.
If we want to stay here, we must talk to America about Sharia.
Nobody in the government, civilian government, DOD, Intel, knew anything about Sharia.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Did you find that the Biden administration's DHS had a formal vetting process in place?
The department did not have a formal process at the start of the OAW.
That's astounding.
My wife got confronted at 9:30 at a grocery store parking lot. My guy's saying, you should not be on the street. You gonna be raped.
People get excited and the rape is done. Who's to blame? It is even the girl to blame.
Under his system, he's allowed to rape any woman that's unattended.
My cousin was 13 or 14, Jeanette. She woke up naked in a house, lots of bearded Muslims raping her.
There's no such thing as a Muslim country where children are not trafficked.
What you have right there is a clash of civilizations, not a clash of religions, a clash of civilizations.
Is Islam a religion?
It's a civilization, not a religion.
What about the Muslim Brotherhood? What about Hezbollah? What about Hamas? What ties the entire global movement together is Sharia. The stated purpose of Islam is to wage jihad.
They don't apologize about jihad. They're not afraid of jihad. It's a part of who we are.
Since 2020, there's been over 500 Catholic churches that have been assaulted. You don't hear about the Christian churches that have been attacked. If a mosque was attacked, they would be crucified.
If you build a mosque in the middle of nowhere, you're going to get Islamists. And Muslims come.
These imams or clerics are openly calling for the takeover of this country, the Islamization of this country.
This is the correct religion, and we will not stop until it enters every home.
Imam says to me in the interview that the United Kingdom will be a Muslim country within 20 years.
I stood outside a mosque in Manchester, and when I stood there, within a 2-mile radius, I found that 16 people had gone to fight for ISIS.
And you see areas like Paris or London, whose culture is being absolutely eroded.
You have a lot of people from the Muslim Brotherhood that have infiltrated all areas of our intelligence community, of our legal community, and into the government.
Why would you put a knife to your own throat?
Army Major Nidal Hassan was convicted of killing 13 people and wounding 32 others.
The state with the most jihadi attacks in the United States, Texas.
We are in a battle not just for the future of Texas or the future of the United States of America. Texas is on the front lines in the battle for nothing less than the future of Western civilization.
Don't be deceived and don't be afraid.
You have Texas politicians believing in whatever keeps them elected. If Texas falls, that the rest of the United States falls.
Don't mess with Texas.
Shepherds aren't weak, and I'm not weak, and I'm not going to let anyone come in here and hurt this flock.
America starts in Texas. This is another Alamo. This time, we're going to win.
The battle for Texas begins now.
It says, remember the alamomovie.com. We'll get into more of this on the other side of a commercial break. But the Middle East is not anywhere close to settling down. The war in Iran continues, which, when you look at everything else going on, just a little reminder of the priorities that our government maintains. You know, there was a good story today. Donald Trump is doing an initiative to give CDL commercial driver's licenses to veterans rather than illegal immigrants. So that's good. That'll be good. It's a start. It's certainly a start. There's also, apparently, they are now starting to arrest people who hire illegal aliens, not just the illegal aliens. They seem to be getting a little bit serious about deportations now. It's just that they're not really. But I mean, not really in any meaningful way. Remember, reported yesterday, there have been more anchor baby births than deportations in Trump's second administration. So this program helps streamline CDL licensing for veterans with heavy vehicle experience. Which, again, that's good. That's good. But it's like, it's one of these things where, why is this an issue? How were there no controls or barriers to giving out commercial driver's licenses to hundreds of thousands of foreign employees who don't speak English, cannot read the road signs that they need to adhere to for us to survive? It's another one of these situations where, once again, we're supposed to celebrate the reversal of a policy that should have never been implemented in the first place, a situation that never should have been allowed in the first place. And even in the most generous, like, interpretation of this stuff, you know, you could say, you know, things like, you do the calculations, a Indian person from India, if they open a gas station and an American opens a gas station, there's something like $250,000 worth of grants that the Indian gets that the American doesn't. Now, I don't know when this was implemented. Maybe in the 70s, we were like in desperate need of gas station operators, so we made some carve outs. But like, it's enough. Enough already. We've had enough of that. We don't need any of these people here. I don't know how many times and different ways I can say it, but just, we're being invaded and flooded and destroyed, so we should stop them from doing that, but we won't. Over and over.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano-sized. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Who took the bomb?
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room. And I have a bunch of really crazy stories to go over with you here. I do want to remind you that we now sell ivermectin and mebendazole. It's available at 1776rx.health. It's one of the biggest health launches we've ever done. You, of course, know about ivermectin. But for the first time, we have launched a powerful dual-action prescription parasite treatment combining ivermectin with mebendazole. These are two serious anti-parasitic medications that work in different ways. Ivermectin targets certain parasites by disrupting their nervous system. Mebendazole targets intestinal worms by blocking their ability to absorb the energy they need to survive. Together, they provide a broad-spectrum approach against multiple types of parasitic infections. Let me tell you something. Parasites aren't just some problem that exists in other countries or are other countries or people from other countries. People can be exposed through the contamination of food, water, through travel, animals, and their environment. Many people might not even realize they've been exposed, and that's why access matters. This is real human use prescription medication, not veterinary paste, not something from a feed store, and not some questionable product shipped from overseas. It ships directly to your door from a licensed U.S. pharmacy. Again, this combines ivermectin plus mebendazole in one powerful dual-action prescription parasite treatment. Go to 1776rx.health right now. That's 1776rx.health to get your order if you get the prescription. The prescription is required, but by going to 1776rx.health, you can talk to a licensed provider and find out whether the treatment is right for you. We also have, of course, the summer sale going on. But like I've said before, these are very popular products. And, you know, a lot of our products, like a lot of our news, sort of become, you know, really big trends, or they are really big trends, and we offer a version of it. Ivermectin and mebendazole I've been hearing about forever. But you don't know who to trust. I don't know who to trust. I don't know what the good stuff is because I don't know much about it. So I got to go with whatever the marketing material says, and you can't really trust that. So I'm so happy that now we have it. Now the Alex Jones Network provides it because I can trust us. I can trust the Alex Jones Network. I don't have to worry about cycling through, going through a whole bunch of different options and trying to determine which is the best and which has the... It's a one-stop shop, and that really is the case with all of our products. I really should have covered it at the time, but there was a big hit piece article against Shilajit because it was talking about how the new testosterone-boosting supplement that is all the craze can actually have heavy metals if you're not careful. And that's true. If you go get the lower quality stuff, I don't know what's in it. You don't know what's in it. We don't even know if there's Shilajit in it. You know, people can lie on products. That's why it's great that anything you get from the Alex Jones store, you know, we have gone through every process available. We have applied every filter you could get your hands on. We have guaranteed that these things are free of heavy metals, have been filtered and purified, and are bioavailable. We give you the best products that we can possibly get our hands on. The supplements themselves are at the highest, you know, percentage of the active ingredients, and they're bioavailable, and they're the best price that we can offer and still run a company. So I think if that alone to me is like, if you've been looking at this stuff and going, it sounds pretty good, but you know, do I really want to, you know, buy something? I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know who, you know, how, what quality it is. You know, people see it's a popular product, so they want to make their own, but maybe they'll cut corners. You know, we don't cut corners on our products, or anywhere for that matter, but certainly not on our products, because we have a very simple philosophy, which is that we don't just want, we need you to return. We need you to be returning customers. It does nothing for us to sell you a product one time, have you not liked the product, and never come back. Why would we do that? We wouldn't be here if that's how we operated. No, we give you the highest quality product at the best possible prices because we believe that once you try them out, you'll be a return customer. Because even if you've tried, you know, methylene blue before, maybe you got a bad, you know, batch. Maybe whoever you're buying it from didn't have the same quality assurances that we do. But you know, when you buy a product from the alexjonesstore.com, and this is even true for the t-shirts, like, you know, it's going to be a quality t-shirt. You know, it's going to be a quality supplement. You know, it's going to be the highest possible quality that we can ever offer you. And while I can't say that for other supplement companies, I can guarantee you that we have the best available out there. I have so many crazy stories. I have so many crazy stories in this last hour. We'll start with this one. And I saw people read this headline and be like, you might not believe this. Our audience will believe this. Our audience already knows this to a large degree. It says, this is from the Blade, or Daily Wire, actually. DailyWire.com says, I went to a quote-unquote teen takeover. It ended with gunshots and was put on by the government. He says, I just left dinner with friends in northern Washington, D.C. last Friday. After we said goodbye, I started walking alone through LaDroit Park towards the nearest metro station. Within minutes, sirens started. Several police cars appeared almost immediately, and almost as quickly, the street was filled with black teenagers flooding in from several different directions at once. Some walked, others sprinted, and teens carrying blaring speakers took over the street. Hundreds of teens packed the roadway. I asked a few of the kids running past what was happening. They yelled obscenities at me and kept going. Soon I realized I had found myself in the middle of a quote-unquote teen takeover. which used to be known as race riots. They used to be called race riots. Now they're called teen takeovers for some reason. I didn't get the memo. I'm not sure why they rebranded, but makes sense. Sounds better. Teen takeover. That sounds like an event at a church. That's like, oh, it is an alliteration. Race riot, teen takeover. It's catchy. It is catchy. Like, that genuinely is probably something that they workshopped. If I came out and they're like, all right, so we're doing this thing where we allow regularly hundreds of black people to riot and destroy things and fight each other and shoot guns and block off streets and attack police officers. But we don't want to call it race riot. Can we come up with some other terms? Teen takeover is what they went with. He says, I moved to the edge of one of the groups and walked with them. An 18-year-old girl named Makala told me the event was coordinated by DPR. I asked what the letter stood for, and she didn't know. Only the DPR puts these events together for teens to, quote, come out and have fun. She said the organizers reached the kids through Instagram. It turns out DPR is the District of Columbia's Department of Parks and Recreation. The teens I spoke to that night said they were there for the government-organized event. Leslie Knope. Leslie Knope putting on teen takeovers. That would be good. All right, somebody with AI credits to make video. Somebody's got to do an episode of Parks and Recreation where they put on a teen takeover event. And Andy gets shot by one of the teens. Andy can get shot by one of the teens. I mean, it could be a real, you know, cascade of hilarity, I think. You know, these other cities are putting on teen takeovers. They're having a lot of success with them. And like halfway through the episode, she's in way over her head, you know. The teens are like locking her in a locker as they rob the city hall. So it's put on by Department of Parks and Recreation. The Washington, D.C. Municipal Government Department of Parks and Recreation uses Instagram to invite teenagers to riot weekly. So there you go. Are you surprised? Shouldn't be. It is crazy. So again, let me just read it again, just in case you think I'm making things up here. It turns out DPR is the District of Columbia's Department of Parks and Recreation. The teens I spoke to that night said they were all there for the government-organized event. Its Instagram account identifies it as a government organization that organizes, quote, fun programs and events. One of those events, according to the department's website, is called Late Night Hype. It's a program created in 2021 to give teens and young adults safe, high-energy spaces to connect after hours. The government office had planned a late-night hype event at the Banneker Rec Center fields just north of LaDroit Park, according to its online schedule of events. Attendees knew what was coming. A young Muslim man in a kifa, whatever, named Jannar, joined us as we walked. I asked him what the kids usually do at these DPR events. He answered without softening it. All right, I'll censor it. I don't like it. All these N-words out here are wildin'. He described how the teens rob each other and take each other's shoes and clothes. McCullough said at most of these events, the teens go overboard and take it, quote, to the next level. When I asked what that looked like, Jannar said, you gonna see. We moved through alleys, dodging police cars and leaving spots fast because fights kept starting. McCullough said DPR calls these late night hype events for teens and families to hang out and have good fun. The signs, she said, are made on the spot to get experience with graffiti. As both McCullough and Jannar warned, fights broke out. I moved closer to one of the fights to record it. As I approached to get footage, everyone was running the other way. Seconds later, I witnessed a masked teenager fire off a gunshot. I stopped for a second. The masked ones ran, and the rest of the crowd continued faster with them. I'd gotten McCullough's phone number, and we were able to reconnect. This is why we can't have fun, because they want to act a fool, she told me. McCullough told me the area was under a youth curfew. No one cared. She said these kids target other people. Then she said something more direct. She has watched, on multiple occasions, at these same events, kids shooting at each other or jumping kids. She said it was commonplace. I asked several teenagers in ski masks why they covered their faces. One said, I can't say too much. Another said, they gonna lock us up. A witness near me claimed the police, quote, shot people, which almost certainly didn't happen. What happened was pepper balls after the gunfire and after more fights started inside the running crowd. The teenagers stampeded in short bursts with no clear provocation, even with the National Guard standing in view, and they kept doing it. I asked an officer for comment. She said she could not give the details, but confirmed an investigation into the discharge of a weapon was open and that numerous shots had been fired. I told her I had video of one of the shots. She told me to submit it through their information page so I could be listed as a witness. At that moment, they had no other footage of the shots. While I spoke, other officers dealt with teenagers yelling obscenities at them and stretched caution tape to protect the crime scene. I gave authorities my statement and left. On the way out, I watched officers arrest the person I'd seen fire the first shot. No further information has been released. What the Department of Parks and Recreation frames under the guise of an opportunity for teenagers to gather and have fun, instead fosters a place for teens to commit crimes. They all knew what was going to happen. It was not an isolated incident. As Heather McDonald has written in the Daily Wire, the same trend is popping up from Chicago to Florida and repeated outbreaks inside Washington itself. Large groups of urban teenagers, often coordinated online, take over public space, and mass violence follows with enough regularity that participants treat it as expected. According to the teenagers who attend these events regularly, the violence happens at every single one. I wonder what they would say to the children who have been murdered by others at these takeover, whose behaviors they condone. There are late-night hype events planned for the next three Fridays this summer. The Department of Parks and Recreation did not respond to it for a comment. Do I need to comment? Do I need to reiterate? You have the Department of Parks and Recreation literally organizing riots for children, where every single time the kids go there for no other per— what else were they doing? Like, I like how it's like it inevitably devolves into violence and chaos. What else would they do? There's nothing else for them to do. You are just assigning a portion of the city to be a fight club, a riot, a mob violent attack for this afternoon. Just that's where it's going to be. Do the violence there. What the hell are we doing here? What is this? This has been going on since 2021. Since 2021, the Washington, D.C. Department of Parks and Recreation has been deliberately organizing teenage riots so they can come together and shoot each other and fight each other. That's what else are they going to do? They're like, we have a weekend of fun for families and teens. It's like, well, what do you provide? Is there a bounce house? Is there face painting? Are there snow cones? Are there rides? Is there literally anything? No, it's a big empty field where we tell every black child in DC to go to, and we say there's no laws tonight, have fun, and they kill each other, and then we do it again the next week. Okay, great. It's Idiocracy. It's Idiocracy. That could be, it would have to be all of Parks and Recreation, because they do it every week. Be like, first you have an episode of Parks and Rec where Leslie Knope decides to give teenagers a fun thing to do, and, you know, it ends up to be a murder scene, but then they do it the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the week after that. Just add it onto the pile, I guess, of things that just our government does that have no possible basis in reality. There's absolutely no excuse for this. There's no, like what? They just organize riots. The Department of Parks and Recreation gets on Instagram and tells every hoodlum in D.C. to go to a park to commit mass violence, and that's it. And that is the point, you understand, right? If you're an individual or even a small group of people, if you commit violence, you're probably the only one there committing violence. It'll be easy to identify and arrest you. If instead every criminal in the city gathers, then just by sheer force of numbers, you can do whatever you want. I'm against this. You know, this is one of those things that I can firmly say I don't think this is good. You know, I think personally that you shouldn't have your local government organizing riots every weekend for children. I think that's not a good idea. I'm having trouble seeing the benefit here. Because it sounds like it was a pretty tame one for this fella. Sounds like, you know, just one shooting. He didn't say if anybody got hurt or not. But even in this minimal expression of violence, of course, talks about fights and everything, and, you know, those are just going to be bodily injury, no big deal there. You have a gunshot, so now you're talking about, like, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars of police time and investigative time. And if you actually arrest the guy, then you got to hold him and book him and you got to charge him. And it would have never happened if they hadn't delivered. And there's a curfew, apparently. So this might be the craziest part. There's a teen curfew because even without the government deliberately organizing the mass criminality, it's so bad that they say basically if you're not an adult, you're not allowed on the street after a certain time. But then the Parks and Recreation Department plans giant teen gatherings in the areas with the curfew, saying, don't worry about it. And of course they don't, because once again, if it was a curfew and you're a single teen out, then you might get caught and put away. But if there's 500 of you, there's no way the police can arrest all of you. So they just don't arrest any of you. So you get away with it. You break the curfew, you commit the crimes, and then you come back the next week. I would really be interested because they're not, right? They're not the only ones doing this. Like, D.C. is not the only city doing this, I bet. It actually kind of makes sense, because you keep seeing these videos of teen takeovers, and it's always kind of the same cities where they happen. It turns out it's not spontaneous. It's deliberate. It's organized by the government doing it. There was a time when the left would actually have conversations. It's pretty obvious why that doesn't exist anymore. Because just like the Fauci thing, this is another one where I would love to ask a Democrat, a leftist, like, are you in favor of this? Do you think this is a good idea? Can you rationalize this? Can you justify this? If this wasn't happening and I suggested it should start, would you think I was crazy or what? Like, if we'd never heard of this, I have an idea. Let's have the Department of Recreation start to create riots every week. Like, who would be in favor of that? What is the argument for this? That could be the question of, like, everything that we're doing. And in most cases, you know, it's like, it doesn't make any sense what they're doing, but it's not just like impossible to imagine a positive outcome, right? You point at the war in Iran and go, why are we doing this? This has nothing to do with us. It's not our concern. They're not a danger to us. This is clearly for the sake of Israel, blah, blah, blah. You could say all that stuff. But you can have the other side saying, well, but, you know, China and whatever, you know, oil and this sort of stuff. At least there's some ambiguity there. At least I can hear what is the argument for this? Why is our government engaged in so many things like this, where the only possible outcome is violence and terror and insanity and chaos? There is no other possible outcome. So why are we doing it? So you just read the headlines like the government will no longer be offering free houses for immigrants. They'll no longer be, you know, forcing banks to give loans to immigrants that can't afford it. And it's just like, why are we doing this? Why was it happening in the first place? How are these things going on? It's been going on since 2021. Nobody's realized up till now. We haven't realized that for the last 5 years, every weekend, they're organizing riots on purpose On Instagram? Okay, great. Crazy. But there you go. Meanwhile, biohacker Brian Johnson, who wanted to, quote, live forever, now fears he's, quote unquote, taken it too far. I may take it a little too far here. It's just like Darth Vader. A billionaire biohacker who wanted to live forever is seemingly questioning his life choices after being diagnosed with an incurable disease. Brian Johnson, whose viral stunts in pursuit of eternal life have included injecting himself with his son's blood plasma and tweeting detailed reports on his wife's private parts, recently revealed he had developed autoimmune gastritis. It's an incurable chronic condition where the immune system mistakenly attacks healthy cells in the stomach lining. And the diagnosis appears to have left the 48-year-old venture capitalist questioning whether his pursuit for better health and a longer life was worth all the effort. Writing on X, Johnson wrote, "Been thinking things over and wonder if I've taken this whole longevity thing too far." I love it. I don't know why. That's so funny to me. Johnson's diagnosis comes after years of unusual treatments and therapies that have set him back around $10 million, all done in the name of longevity. Yeah, he's a freak. He's a complete freak. And he looks older than he is anyway. It's like, that might be the weirdest part. Like, I don't know. To me, he looks older than Alex. Right, yeah. If he was 80 years old and looked like this, I'd be like, wow, he must be onto something. But you show me this guy and you're like, would you believe this man is 48 years old? I'd be like, yes. Yeah, no, that's exactly how old he looks, actually. I'm 36 years old. I'm like the least healthy person you can imagine. Maybe it's the supplements from the AlexJonesStore.com. I eat whatever the hell I want. I probably drink more Dr. Pepper than I do water. I'm a slave to sweet things. I do not work out. I don't do anything for my health. Except go to the AlexJonesStore.com. The one thing I do for health, you want to increase your longevity, folks. You want to be young like me at heart. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com/Harrison and make a purchase. You don't need to inject anybody's blood into you. You don't need to do any weird things. You don't. Oh, he does methylene blue. Look at that. Brian Johnson approves of methylene blue. You too can live forever like Brian Johnson. Guys, did you know that pursuing immortality has negative consequences? What? Are you kidding me? Really? Since when? Oh, the beginning of time and Adam and Eve, right? Ah, forgot about that. It's the whole thing, isn't it?
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.